Now please take up your Bibles and open it to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And we'll be reading from the first verse through to the verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. It will be on page 794 in your pew Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14. Please pay attention to the infallible word of our Lord. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the eunuchs, the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, and the metal workers had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elazar, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. It said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Amen. This is the word of our Lord. So please open your Bibles to Jeremiah 29 again. The theme or the topic we want to consider this evening is the plan of ourselves and the plan of God. The plans of ourselves and the plan of our God. Particularly over the last couple of years, as we all know, of course, the effects of the COVID pandemic really have forced us to sort of change or reconsider or even give up some of the plans you had in your mind or in your life in a larger scale. Speaking of my own family, we had originally planned to come here in Northern Ireland, actually a bit earlier than we actually did. We were planning to be here in the summer of 2020. for the new school year. But we were sort of a bit careful because we had a small baby. Yoshi was only several months old at that time. And we sort of like we were a bit careful as we observed the situation of COVID in the UK. And the pandemic seemed to be settled down a bit in the summer of 2020, as many of you may remember. So we decided to just go ahead and move here in November. But right after we arrived, the UK, including the Northern Ireland, of course, went into a second lockdown. Right after we arrived here in Belfast. Honestly speaking, that was really totally unexpected for our family. Actually, I had a minister friend back in Japan who was also thinking about going abroad for his study. He was thinking about going to America for his study. But he actually decided not to go, and he's still continuing to his ministry in Japan. Well, I'm sure all of you may have had the similar experience in your life. The pandemic may have led you to change your original plans in your life, or it may have put you in maybe difficult situations in your life. Some of you may have had to go through difficulties for reasons other than COVID, maybe. Well, of course, the recent situation in our world, like if you look at what's going on in Ukraine, of course, we weren't really predicting all those things 6 months ago. In such situations, we may wonder why our plans do not work out. Why our plans don't work out. We may even question what God's plan is for us. Why is God allowing such a thing in our life? Why is he making us going into such way? So today we're going to look at how we should view and trust in God's plan, even in the midst of these situations, by particularly focusing on today's chapter, Jeremiah 29, and we'll be particularly focusing on the last four verses 11 to 14 of this chapter. So firstly, we want to consider the historical background and the context of this chapter. And actually this is very really proper because the book of Haggai we're looking at in the morning. It's really relevant to what is going on here in Jeremiah. I think verse 11 of today's passage, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This verse is quite a popular verse, Bible verse. I think many Christians really like to cite this verse in their life. And indeed, if we read this verse really quickly, without considering its context, historical context, we might say that it is sort of nice and really easygoing verse for us. But in order to fully understand what God is saying in these verses, we need to understand its historical background and its historical context, which we want to consider in the beginning. So just for a little review of the Old Testament history, from the time of King David and his son Solomon. So after King Solomon, the kingdom of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And people in both kingdoms gradually rebelled against God, and they fell into idolatry. which led first the northern kingdom, being destroyed by Assyria. And later on, the southern kingdom, which was the true root of the King David, the southern kingdom, the people there, really went to wrong way. They fell into idolatry. And during the prophet Jeremiah, the southern kingdom of Judah, the true root of King David, this kingdom was also about to be judged by God himself because of her dishonesty and idolatry before God. It was at this time that Jeremiah, the prophet, the author of this book, was appointed to be his true prophet. This prophet Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet, a prophet whose life was not so straightforward. Jeremiah was given the word of God and he was called to be a prophet, someone who would proclaim God's word to his people. However, God's prophecy to his people through Jeremiah was that the southern kingdom would eventually face desolation because of her unbelief. But the people, and especially the leaders of the people at that time, thought that their God would never do such a thing, because God had told them that he would establish David's throne as the everlasting kingdom. And many people thought, why would God judge us? What is this prophet Jeremiah saying? It really doesn't make any sense. Many people have thought that way. And so they regarded Jeremiah as a false prophet, and they even went on to imprison him because he was regarded to be a dangerous man who spoke of the destruction of their own nation. However, it was Jeremiah who was the true prophet, the one who was called by God himself to proclaim his word boldly and faithfully to his people. God was urging his people through Jeremiah to turn away from their idolatry and turn back to him. However, many people did not listen to Jeremiah. Of course, that means they didn't listen to their God. And as a consequence, the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, also suffered the great misery of the Babylonian captivity as a result of their unbelief. If you look at verse 1 of today's chapter, this verse suggests that today's passage is a portion of a letter from Jeremiah, who was at this point still in Jerusalem. This portion was a letter from Jeremiah sent to the people who were captured and taken over to Babylon. Jeremiah is still proclaiming God's word to his people, who are facing at this very moment utmost difficulties in their own life. In verse 10, Jeremiah claims that the people who are taken into captivity would be brought back to their original land, which is Jerusalem, after 70 years. After 70 years. As we have seen in Haggai, the 70 years refers to the destruction of the first temple of Solomon to the completion of the second temple, which is exactly what we're dealing with in the book of Haggai. But if you look at this number, 70, in a sense, Jeremiah's prophecy was a very serious and very severe one. While the false prophets who were mentioned in verse 8 and 9 were telling to the people that they could return from Babylon to Jerusalem in short period of time, even as short as 2 years, It is recorded in the former chapter in Jeremiah 28. Those false prophets were proclaiming to the people of God that they can return to Jerusalem only within 2 years. However, the true word of God, which Jeremiah is telling to his people, was that it's 70 years, not 2 years. You need 70 years. You have to be in Babylon for 70 years. That was the Lord's plan. God's plan was that the Israelites would be imprisoned in Babylon for as long as 70 years. And having observed this background, we should begin to understand the seriousness or the weight or of the meaning, the significance of the verses we are looking at today. When God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." This plan, this God's plan, is not something sort of easily gratifying. But rather, his plan was a very serious and very heavy one, which the people may not be able to sort of immediately accept even. But even so, the Lord declares, "This is the plan I have for you. This plan is for welfare, your peace and your future, and for your hope." This is what he declares here. You know, if we think of 70 years, I think majority of us would be not going back to Jerusalem. You know, it's only younger kids or maybe even for teenagers, you'll be in 80s if you think of this 70 years. So what the Lord is saying here is really a serious, very, very much, you know, serious prophecy. Well, having examined that, let us look at the actual content of our passage, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 14. The first thing we want to consider is that the Lord declares that he knows the plans he has for his people. The Lord says here, he knows the plans he has for his people. And some of you may think, of course, it is obvious. It goes without saying that God knows his plans because it is he who made the plans. But there is a profound significance in this phrase, he knows his plans. If you look at the original Hebrew language, there is actually a strong emphasis on this part, "I know," which can be sort of translated like, "It is I who know the plan. It is I who know the plan." And this word "to know" in the Bible is not only used in the sense of having knowledge of something, but this word also sort of signifies the sense of a deep personal relationship and fellowship between one another. So the fact that the Lord knows his plan for his people, this signifies that God is giving his people his plans on the foundation of a deep personal relationship with him and his people. And this relationship can be seen particularly clearly in the form of covenant. In the beginning of the book of Exodus, Exodus 2, this is the sort of like the conclusion of the introductory part of the book of Exodus. The last part of Exodus 2 reads, "During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. You see in these last sentences, God knows his people, and he sees them. He hears their cry. And most of all, he remembers his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. All these verses kind of illustrate the intimate relationship between the Lord and his people and on the foundation of his covenant. And of course, in Haggai 2, the passage we've looked this morning, the Lord encouraged his people, referring to his covenant, the covenant he gave to his people in Exodus. So similarly, in today's passage in Jeremiah 29, God is saying God knows his people and his plan because he remembers his covenant he has made with his people. Well, actually, the Israelites who accused Jeremiah because they thought that his prophecy sort of contradicted with the covenant God made with David in 2 Samuel 7, that the Lord would establish the throne of David's kingdom forever. But that was not true. The Lord remembered his covenant with David. He has been always faithful with his covenant with David. And according to this covenant, he would sustain the line of David by giving his people the restoration. Jeremiah was not prophesying just only the judgment of the people, but he was also prophesizing the restoration that would come afterwards. God's plan. However, the people had to wait for as long as 70 years still in order to see that restoration. God's plan was that the people had to wait for 70 years in Babylon. Brothers and sisters, let us think about ourselves. We often wish to sort of know our God's plan, don't we? And we want to sort of figure out if our plans in our minds and God's plan for us are sort of in agreement or not. Or we may think God's will is not shown to me yet when something difficult happens in our life. I still remember when I was a young teenager back in Japan. I sort of had typical questions, which I think many young people would have, like, you know, which subject I should choose for my major, or you know, which school or which college I should go to, or you know, who should I marry, or those questions, were in my mind, and I remember wishing that if you had like a certain device or something that would maybe light up when you're following God's plan, and that would maybe, you know, light in red maybe if you're going against God's plan. I thought it would be handy if we had that sort of, you know, device in our hand. Well, we may also wonder why God would allow such a terrible thing to happen when something really bad hits in our own lives, like COVID, or natural disasters. You know, in Japan, we have all sorts of natural disasters. We have earthquakes. You know, the huge one, a huge one hit Kobe in 90s, and another one hit Japan later. But if you encounter all those terrible things happening in this world, we may wonder why God is doing this, why God allows such a thing to be happening. I think these are all questions that would arise in our minds when we wish to know about our God's plans, which we don't know or understand at that moment. But the point of today's passage is that we are not being told to know or to understand God's plans, but rather we are told that God knows the plans He has for us. God knows the plans He has for us. In fact, we often sort of desire to know and understand all the plans of God for us. However, when we seek to do so, we are often tempted to know God's plan in a way that is sort of easy or convenient for us to sort of understand. You know, if there's one prophet who's saying you have to be here for 70 years in Babylon, and if there's another one who's saying you'll be here for only 2 years, it was so easy for many people just try to follow to the easier decision. But when we do so, it seems as if we're trying to force God's plan into our own. That is easy for us to understand and follow. Almost as if we are trying to sort of stuff or tuck God into our small handy box or something. But we need to know that the plans of God are too big and too comprehensive for us often to understand all. And God Himself is much bigger, of course, and much greater than us. Therefore, the Bible, today's passage, tells us that it is not for us to know God's plans, but the fact is that God, He Himself knows His plans for us. And the Lord promises us that His plans are not for evil, but for welfare and peace, that we may have a future and a hope. Therefore, because God knows His plans for us, we are called in verses 12 and 13 to call upon Him, to call upon God, and come and pray to God, and God will hear us. To seek God and find God when we seek God with all our heart. As these verses encourage us, we ought to first call upon God Himself. We need to pray to God. We need to seek God with all our heart. In other words, we should not just force God's plan into our small plans and our minds, but rather we should first focus on God, who knows the plan, instead of looking at the plans from our own human perspectives. We should first look at God Himself, who knows the plan for us. And if we do so, as these verses promise us, God will hear us. God will find us. That is what the Bible says. That is what our God promises to us. Moreover, what is being said here is completely different from the so-called fatalism. Well, some people may say, if God's plan is for us is already in place and we can't do anything with it, then we don't have to do anything, you know. We can just leave it to its fate. But that is not what today's passage says. If we focus on God, who knows His plan for us, and if we call out to Him, if we pray to Him, if we seek Him, He will hear us and find us. We don't force God's plans to our own, but we don't have to give up completely our own plans. because, you know, by thinking such like we can't do anything and our plan, if our plan is already fixed by God, we just, you know, we can't do anything. Today's passage urges us. God knows his plans for us, so we must call on him. We must pray to him, and we must seek him. That's something we need to do as God's people. However, the process may still not be an easy one. It might be easier said than done. At times, we may find it difficult to accept our present situation. We may still wonder why God had planned it in such a way. Sometimes we may feel like it doesn't make any sense. We may find it hard to accept. Why? Why, God? Why have you planned it in such a way? Why do we have to suffer in COVID? Why does God allow this in my life? Some of us may have experienced this kind of feeling in our own life. And in fact, that might have been the case with Jeremiah himself, because he was called to be a prophet. He was called by the Lord to preach and proclaim the word of God to his people. And yet, he was accused by them. He was attacked by God's people, and he suffered extreme hardship in his life. There may have been moments when Jeremiah wondered if this was God's plan for him. But I imagine that Jeremiah did not stop to just look at himself, but he rather fixed his eyes to the Lord God, and I'm sure he had trusted in the Lord. Jeremiah trusted that God's plans were good, and he was not sticking to his own selfish understandings of the plan, but he was rather focusing on God, who knows the plans for him. I believe that the people who received this Jeremiah's letter were able to accept the prophecy of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity as something that would give them peace, a future, and hope only when they fixed their eyes on the Lord, who knows the plans for them. Moreover, it was Jesus who set the best example of what kind of attitude we should have towards God's plan. At the end of his life on earth, the night before Jesus went on the cross to bear our own sins, Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives. And do you remember what Jesus prayed there? Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you as you will. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Of course, Jesus had already known his path to the cross that awaited before him. But before that suffering, he, as a human being, he honestly and he sincerely prayed to his Father, saying, "Let this cup pass from me." But he also prayed, "Not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done." I think it is sort of our goal as Christians to be able to pray like this. And it is in fact the privilege for us. It is the privilege of God's people to be able to pray like this when we are in the midst of great difficulties or great trials in our life. And when we wonder why God is doing so, doing this to us. That is because we believe, we can trust in our God who knows us, and we can trust that His plans for us are plans for welfare and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Jesus' prayer would be a perfect example for us to also follow, for us to follow when we are called to pray to our God in the midst of difficulties. But still, there may be moments in our lives when we still find it difficult to trust in the Lord's plans all the time. Well, now, for the remaining time, I would like to think about some specific things we can do in our life to help us focus on and to help us trust in the Lord's plan, not our own. And actually, the clue is, I think, shown in the former half of today's passage. Firstly, in verses 4 through 6, Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. The first thing here that is being said here is that the people who are taken to Babylon should focus on living a normal and in daily life diligently. The people are encouraged to do regular things, to live a regular daily life diligently. They were to build houses, they were to grow crops, and they were to get married. Brothers and sisters, when we deal with such a big subject like God's plans, it can often be sort of overwhelming, and we wonder what we can do exactly in our life. We often get so caught up in plans and things like God's will to us, that we overlook our responsibilities in our daily life. However, we need to be aware that it is important for us to be faithful and to be diligent in our daily lives as God's people when we think about such big things. We ought to work. We ought to study as students. We ought to be fathers, we ought to be mothers. We ought to be faithful in our daily lives as God's people, even when we're thinking about such big things. And then secondly, verse 7 continues, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you to exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Here, the second thing we need to remember is to pray constantly. We need to pray to God. And by praying to God, we are given peace in our heart. We pray to God in order to come before Him, in order to call on Him, in order to seek Him. Again, some people may say, if God has already fixed His plans for us, there's no need to pray. Of course, that is not true. Well, we know that God, you know, doesn't change the outcomes of His plan every time we pray, or on the basis of, you know, how long we pray. We shouldn't think, you know, this didn't work out because we prayed for only 30 minutes. Concerning this, that's not true. But when we pray, We find God. We seek God and we find Him. We find God who knows us, who knows His plans for us. We pray in order to trust in God's will, in order to trust in His plan for us. It is as if our hearts are being brought into sort of harmony with God as we pray. As we saw in Jesus' prayer, we are to pray honestly. We are to pray sincerely and then ask for His will, ask for His plans, His will to be done in our life. And also, in the context of today's passage, we ought to pray for the nation. We ought to pray for our city. The circumstances in which we may face difficulties. We need to be reminded that we ought to pray for our city, our nation, our neighbors, our friends, our family, and even for our enemies. It is true that we as God's people, we sometimes face difficulties because of our city, because of the circumstances, because of the people who do not know God around us. But even when you are facing trials or difficulties because of those people, what we need to do is we need to pray for them. We should pray that the Lord's will would be done also on those people, trusting that the Lord is working through them. Just as the people of Israel, they were encouraged to pray for the city, for Babylon. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our city. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for our people around us. So, living our daily life diligently and faithfully and devoting our time, focusing on praying to God, would help us to really focus on God's plan, focus on God Himself, rather than sort of contemplating on what we should do as ourselves without thinking about God. So as we start our new week from today, as we face another God's plans in our life, which is often so big that we can't, of course, really understand all at once, well, let us be encouraged from this passage to faithfully live our daily lives. And let us focus not on ourselves, not on our plans, but on the Lord Himself. Let us pray to our God who knows His plans for us. The plans for welfare and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Let us walk daily with our eyes fixed on the Lord Himself. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank You for Your precious word. We thank You that we are given this privilege to think about Your plans You have for us. We thank You that You are our Lord who knows the plans You have for us, which are for our welfare, to give us a future and a hope. Father, please make us fix our eyes on Yourself, not on our small minds and hearts and our own small plans we have in our own hearts. But, Father, please make us trust in Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your plans You have for us. Please make us able to pray as Jesus Christ has prayed. Not as I will, but Your will be done. So Lord, please continue to guide us through Your Spirit so that we can always have confidence and peace in our life because You are walking with us And your plans for us is always the best plans we can trust in our life. So now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.